The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Thursday morning, it's the 7th of January 2021 and at 9:05, we're with you till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551 and you can email, as you have been doing all night by the looks of things, ryan@rte.ie. It's been great to hear from you and where to begin today? It's just extraordinary. The times we're living in, they can't be accused of being boring, that is for sure. Before we get to America, I won't dwell on it too long. I think Morning Ireland have covered that particularly well this morning, and as they always do. But I think we'll go local initially because listening to the news at one yesterday, you certainly got the sense that the likes of the Minister for Education, or at least Health, Stephen Donnelly, and Higher Education, Simon Harris, both were kind of vox popped, if you like, on their way into or out of meetings yesterday. And it's rare that you hear a sense of such nervousness or concern from senior government ministers as I heard from their voices yesterday. I definitely got the sense that they were not quite terrified, but certainly horrified by what they are clearly seeing in terms of NPHET predictions and projections, I should say, and very worried. They're worried for us and for people and for everyone. And by the time we got to 6 o'clock last night and saw 7,800 or whatever it was cases, you realised, okay, so they weren't messing around, and Tony Houlihan wasn't understating it, and his colleagues, when they said last week that we should prepare for big, big numbers. I'd like to also not to lose sight of the fact that 17 Irish people died, according to the figures, just last night alone. And that is 17 families. That's a lot of people in mourning today and in the last number of weeks with those numbers growing. And I suspect they may grow even more. So I just want to just pause when we just talk about the numbers are enormous, et cetera, et cetera. But just to say, to pass on condolences to those families. And extended families, because they have desperate sadness on their door at their doors this morning. I also want to say good morning to those of you who are living alone and who have a radio and who are listening to us. You are on your own physically, but we're here with you. And good morning. And hope you're okay. And I hope you have the kettle on and maybe some toast, because you still have to eat and have to mind yourself in the middle of all of this. And don't be afraid to contact somebody if you are feeling like that and say, I need a chat, I'm not feeling up to. And to those of you who are feeling fragile in a mental health sense, you could be in a family of 50. Doesn't matter. You can still feel desperately frightened and desperately alone. Again, good morning to you. And if you slept badly like half the country did last night, good morning to you, because all of these abnormalities, sad to say, are very normal now. So please don't feel freakish or peculiar or different. In any way, I think we're all going through pretty much the same thing, regardless of where you're coming from. At the same time, there's a struggle at a much deeper level for some of you. And that's what I wanted to say. Good morning to you all and welcome to the programme. And as I say, we're on your side and we're thinking of you today. So it continues a pace. Essentially for the month of January, we've been asked to please don't go anywhere, do anything. But you don't need me to tell you that. That's what they're saying. And that's as much as possible what we have to do. I had to buy something, a contraption. I can't tell you too much because it's a present from one of my dotes. And I had to buy this contraption. And I eventually found it in a place called Joyce's in Wexford. And I don't know if you know Joyce's in Wexford, but I was delighted with myself because it meant that I was shopping local. By local, I mean, of course, in Ireland, and not going into some sort of mad global conglomerate. I'm not anti-Amazon, by the way, by any means, but I'm very pro-Irish. And that's why it was thrilled to be able to deal with them. And they said, I said, could you have it for me within the week? And they said, yes, we could have it for you in the week. I said, great. So I went online, got what I need, did what I need to do, and it'll arrive. So, and it was a kitchen appliance, shall we say. But it's a great service, really quick. And it just reminded me to remind you guys and all of us, don't forget the shop local thing. because now, as we're stuck indoors for the month, if you do need stuff for the house and you're clicking and not collecting, be sure to just shop around. And don't make your first go-to place one of the globals. Go local and dig around a bit if you have time or the inclination. And you find, I think, for by and large, very little by way of difference in the price. So that comes with a great recommendation, that is for sure. To America, briefly, because I was watching Operation Transformation on my laptop because of just boring story. But anyway, loved it. And I'll talk about that later on. But I had CNN in the background, just on mute, just in case something was happening. And sure enough, my eye was caught by the thing saying, capital in lockdown. I said, sure, we're all in lockdown. What are you talking about? Then I realised, oh no, hang on a second. The mob has arrived with their flags depicting Donald Trump as Rambo. And I thought, what is going on here? And of course, I had to ditch the laptop for an hour or two and get straight on to CNN. We watched it. And we saw, and initially, and I'm being flippant here on purpose, because I thought it was like a scene out of Planet of the Apes, where they took over. Like that science fiction craziness. And then I saw them going through, somebody observed this morning, they were going through the Capitol, the building. I was like, is this real footage? Because there was a velvet rope on either side of them. And I thought, if these are a mob and they're rioting, surely they wouldn't go through the... They wouldn't obey the velvet rope. Sure enough, they were all going through and no one went over it on either side. I said, is this some sort of mad school tour? Like, what? And then it kicked off. Then it got quite unpleasant. And then the guns came out, as they do. And then it reminded me of Baghdad, when Saddam was brought down. And the palace. Do you remember the people used to would go in and they grab stuff from the palace, toilet fittings and seats and the speaker's podium, and they were sitting there getting their pictures taken, and they were in Nancy Pelosi's office. And then I thought, so they're doing to Washington, D.C. what the looters in Baghdad were doing. In other words, it not unlike Animal Farm, where the pigs become the farmers. And you think, okay, so I thought you guys were meant to be the beacon, and suddenly the beacon was being trashed by their own. And I thought, this is really shocking. Then Joe Biden came out and I thought, ah, an adult in the room. And he gave a very eloquent and elegant speech. And I thought, okay, felt a bit more minded then if I was. And then, as my 15-year-old said, God, you'd feel sorry for America, wouldn't you? And I said, God, imagine a child like that saying, like a child, a young person saying that. But that's what I think most of the countries, as I read the reports from around the world, other leaders saying, God help them in America. It was like they were disappointed in a relative that they quite liked, but had fallen on hard times. And that's broadly the feeling around the place. But looking at CNN this morning, it certainly sees that they've ratified and certified Biden's win. So that's that. They stayed in, and the American experiment, as they call it, is definitely safe. I didn't get a sense that it was going to be a bloodbath, let's be honest about it. I have to say, I thought we're going to be okay here, because although they were a mob, they just didn't seem to be gun-toting from what I could see, which was a good thing. I know a woman died, and I know from a gun wound. That's one person. I think that's remarkable. And then a few others died from what seemed to be medical emergencies, heart attacks or what have you. But I think that's remarkable. I didn't for a minute think it was a coup. I just thought it was unruly. And the police seem to either decide to go easy and not go in all guns themselves, and that might have helped matters. As somebody was saying last night, I think Jake Tapper was saying, imagine if the people protesting were of a different skin colour. I think the outcome would have been very, very different. Donald Trump, to an extent, it felt like watching a bit like this virus. It's the last twitch of a dying monster. But it's destructive as it twitches. You know, if Godzilla goes down and he twitches a tail, two skyscrapers go with him. So it reminds me a bit like that. It's the last belch of a bloated bully being dragged out in his nappy and being told, you're not welcome here anymore. And not just by Democrats, by the way. I thought Pence pretty much threw him under the bus last night. And you can see there's resignations all around the place. In the White House, as people are going, I think I'll give that a miss. 4 years later, Took you a while to figure that one out. Anyway, it was extraordinary. And the coverage in all the papers today is amazing. And the photographs, because the revolution will be televised. It'll also be Instagrammed and tweeted and Snapchatted. So there's no shortage of it. They even shut down Trump's Twitter account for a while because they said, you're just pumping out lies and disinformation. And anyway, we've 2 weeks left of that until January the 20th. And then we'll see where that all goes. On a nicer note, Operation Transformation was lovely last night. I thought it was really, really lovely. And it celebrated five people with great stories. There's a lot of kindness in it, a lot of warmth. And if you didn't see it, watch it back. It's feel-good TV. There's one woman in particular. I don't know how she put one foot in front of the other in her life. She had the saddest story, but the most beautiful spirit. And I hope she doesn't mind me singling her out, but I wish her so well and her family this morning, because she was just lovely. She's a nurse. She was a frontline worker, I should say, and working in the hospital. But a lovely person. It always reminds me of when I think, you never know who you're talking to or who you're sitting beside. We are complicated novels, and people have their stories, and hers was particularly striking. But they're a great bunch of people. And I heard some of them talking to Ray. Ray will be following them and their progress on his program in the afternoon, so you can listen into that. And otherwise, watch it yourself. It was just particularly good, and we're in for a good season. That's a good look to everyone involved on that. Where else to go this morning? Because I see the texts are coming in already. 51551, tea and toast. There's nothing better. I'm going to make some right this minute. Do you know what you could do? Worse things than throw in an old boiled egg with that now. But I'm not going to, don't want top tips on how to boil an egg. Just making a suggestion. I love it. We were glued from 7:30 last night. Crazy stuff. Donny O'Sullivan on CNN was a huge hit. A Kerry man, no less. Well, Emer in Offaly, we've spoken to Donny before a few times, and we're a fan of what he does, and he was great last night. And he's playing a blinder out there, so good on him. And I was only thinking, I think his star is on the ascent, and I think he's only going to get bigger, so good luck to him. He's great. It's great to see. I always love to see when I see Irish people on the TV abroad, I always think, oh, please be bright. please be comprehensible. And sure they are, and he certainly is one of those. Thank you for your message this morning, says Phil. I'm here and I'm alone and I appreciate it. Well, as they say, you're not alone now, which is good, Phil, and thanks for getting back to us. Speaking of buying Irish, says Lou, I'm teaching from home again and my feet are freezing sitting at the desk. I just bought sheepskin slippers from Connacht Hide and Wool in Sligo. Very excited for their arrival. Teachers need warm toes. Okay, teachers of Ireland, get on to Connacht Hide and Wool in Sligo. I don't know who they are, so I can't fully endorse them. But if Lou, get back to us, and if the toes are warm, let's all shop local and get our sheep slippers from them. Okay, good to remind ourselves of the shop local message, by the way, just as we're heading into a month of life of lockdown. Life lockdown. Did I nearly slip? A life of lockdown. I was asking you to give us a paragraph or two on how you are. How you are? Lou gets in touch and she says, well, my life has changed so much. I haven't seen my fiance in a year as he lives in Australia. That's a long time. It might be another year or two till I see him again. And my job in the airline industry is non-existent. It's been a struggle. And I was doing well, but with the third lockdown, I see no end. Yeah, of course you do. But there is an end. Like I said that to you yesterday. I'll say it to you again. I'll say it to you every day. You need to hear it. There is an end. Because every time you see a vaccination, you should breathe a sigh of relief and think, and then the next person, and then all those dominoes fall until it gets to you, and then you'll be vaccinated. And before you know it, we will break bread together again, and we will have a beer together again, and we will have a coffee together again. Don't worry, it's going to happen, but you just need to hear it sometimes. Will I read another check-in email? I will, because there's so many nice ones. This is a sad story that illustrates us at our best as well. So it's from Elaine. And she says, as we face into yet another lockdown country, I wanted to share a story with you and your listeners. I hope that it'll encourage and offer hope to others during this time. My sister Gwen, Gwen sadly passed away in February 2014, and she was in work when she suddenly collapsed after suffering a massive brain hemorrhage. And sadly, Gwen never regained consciousness, and she passed away after donating her organs. Fulfilling her lifelong wishes was the last gift we could give her. My parents, my dad in particular, have gained great solace from visiting her grave daily, watering flowers and always keeping a candle lighting there. And during the first lockdown, when the over 70s were cocooning, my parents really missed the daily trip to say hello to Gwen. And on Easter Monday, I went into the cemetery. And when walking down towards Gwen's grave, I noticed her candle was burning brightly. I thought that Dad had paid a sneaky visit whilst supposedly cocooning. When I reached the grave, I noticed a piece of plastic. And bending down to pick it up, I found a note. The note read, "Hello, I'm Emily. I live in the top floor apartment looking over the grave. I'm not sure if you mind me putting a candle in, as I'm not sure if you can get out at this time. I do hope you're okay with me doing this. I just wanted to keep her glowing and keep her light glowing. I love to see her light lighting in the dark nights as it makes me not feel alone. Thank you and stay safe. Warm wishes, Emily." So I sat on the side of the grave reading and crying and crying and reading. I went back to my car, clutching the note, and I rang my parents, and they too were completely blown away by this simple act of human kindness. So thank you, Emily, from the bottom of our hearts. Your kindness meant so much. We still think of you and hope you're staying safe and well during these uncertain days. And that's from Elaine. I just thought it was a lovely, I was asking you how you are, and that's the kind of thing that'll keep, in this case, literally the light on. So thank you indeed for sharing that story with us this morning. A happy note from Claire to say, in these COVID times when all of the world is feeling the strains and pressures of the pandemic, I had to write to you and explain why 2020 was the best year of my life. This is good. My beautiful and much longed for twins were born on the 3rd of October. Everyone I meet is delighted for us and often comment that it's the only good thing happening at the moment. It's general comments, however, and the constant jokes on social media that are very frustrating. The latest one I saw was a video clip of what happened in 2020, and when it opens, it's just blank. I saw that. This comes after having to go to all of my hospital scans and doctor's appointments without the support of my husband. I feel that the birth of my babies and indeed everyone else who had a son or a daughter born in 2020 is forgotten about. I don't want my twins to grow up with comments like this and to have to constantly listen to people saying to best forget about 2020. Nothing good happened in that year anyway. I realise that it was a very difficult year, and indeed 2021 is beginning in a challenging way also. However, I think that a focus on the positives of the times will help us through it. Okay. You made some very interesting comments in your show yesterday, like solidarity and seeing new growth coming with springtime on the way. Positivity will get us through these next few months. Death and illness was and is all around us, but life and health is just as prevalent. Sympathy and compassion are felt, but joy and happiness is definitely in the air too. And I know that I'm not alone with these thoughts. I'd like to throw this out there to all of your listeners and ask them to share anything positive that happened in their lives in 2020 with us. Well, absolutely. And congratulations, Claire. And welcome to our two newest, youngest, freshly minted and hatched listeners. Speaking of hatched, Niall Hatch of Birdwatch Ireland, very kindly, he's one of my favourite people, by the way, and he very kindly gave me a calendar for the year 2021, unsolicited calendar, and it's the Birdwatch Ireland calendar. And you've got to get your hands on it. It's really good, and there's obviously a bird for every month. He mischievously suggested I should check out how the bird of the month for May, which happens to be the month of my birthday. And I looked at it. And sure enough, staring straight back at me, was one of the greatest pieces of ornithological fake news. Looking straight at me. A puffin. I thought, I'm not getting into that again, lads. I'm leaving that behind me in 2020, okay? Let's get the show on the road. We're open for business. Well, do nicely from Fontella Base and let's rescue me at 9:26. Thanks, Ryan. Great show. Yeah, right. Thanks also, I say that to the team hiding in the background. They're not hiding. They're hardly hiding. They're up against the window here looking for more attention. I know there's a mountain of work they do and nobody notices. Which one of them wrote this? Because honestly, you'd be amazed at their cry for help sometimes. A mountain of work. I'd say more like a hill. Or speed ramp or something like that. Like one of them was playing 30 Seconds, one of her favourite games over Christmas. And the first card she got was Ryan Tuberty. And she told me this morning. She threw the card to the ground and started scraping it into the ground with her foot. That's the respect from the team, the hard-working team who do a mountain of work. I'm sure you can see those inverted commas, but there you are. I'll pass it on to them anyway. I'm sure they'll both be thrilled. D in Dublin says, I'd like to say thank you to our postmen and women who carry on regardless. Yeah, we do it a lot and we'll do it again because they are terrific. I have a hot water bottle under my feet. Says, thank you. Just why not? Nothing wrong with a hot water bottle. We have about three or four of them at home, and they're nearly always on the go. Winston Churchill, says Pat Burke Walsh in Ballymoney, once said, "Dictators ride to and fro on tigers from which they dare not dismount, and the tigers are getting hungry." You got that right. He says, I think that quote is relevant to Donald Trump this morning. And could you say happy birthday, yes, to Evan Grimes, right? How old is he? 10. Big age. Congratulations, Evan. From West Cork. Up bright and early, playing with his new toys. A Gravitrax. Since he can't see his friends and family, this would mean a lot. Happy birthday, Evan. That's good news. Now go to school. Can he go to school yet? Not quite. Monday? No, I don't mean go to school. I mean homeschool. No, Monday. So are they still... The kids don't have to do any sort of work at all. What sort of a... This is lunacy. I mean, the kids can have more crack? This is... Damn, I've got generational envy now. You don't believe what I'm doing at the moment, says Niamh. Go on. I'm putting the final touches on my new shop, Greenway Eco Store in Dungarvan. It's a refill store. As I'm in the accommodation business, I've had lots of time recently to put into reality, make a dream reality. I've had for the last 3 years, Irish suppliers, eco-friendly, sustainable packaging. The lockdown has made me reassess and just go for it. I love your style, Niamh. And the best of luck. Bernie and Mike were on to me from Galway to say, greetings from a house full of book nerds. Welcome. Our daughters, Emily and Ava, are 10 and 14. They're mad about books, love reading. We've struggled in the past to get them a book series similar to the ones that they've enjoyed. But with just one email to Litfox, remember we spoke to Litfox yesterday? We now have a list for their next purchases. This is something we as parents keen to encourage reading have been waiting for. Well done to you and the team. There they go again, the team. What is this business of praising the team? Can you have to edit this out before the... Anyway, for finding this gem of a service, needless to say, we highly recommend people to try Litvox. So thanks for that, Bernie and Mike. So it works. So good. We like to promote quality on the programme as much as possible. So I'm delighted that that worked in. It worked very nicely for you indeed. I got so many emails in on how you're all doing, and I'll try and get to as many as I can. But I want to talk to a guest in a moment about a podcast that I really, really enjoyed. It's a ghoulish, grisly old podcast. Let's face it, called Hunting Ghislaine. It's about Ghislaine Maxwell. A lot of you closer to my age will know and remember Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's father, who was the editor and owner of the Daily Mirror, as I recall, and fell off a boat, or was he pushed? There's all sorts of mystery around that. And her relationship with him comes under the microscope in this documentary, as it does with her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, who died in prison again under a cloud. And she herself is currently in prison, waiting trial in New York. That trial will probably be one of the biggest trials of the decade, certainly of the year. That'll happen in July. So we're kind of slightly ahead of the curve in that regard, and we'll get to that after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
At 10 to 10, Robert Maxwell owned the European Printing Corporation in Coolock in Dublin, says the text. I worked there in the 70s, and yes, he was a bully. I just finished Hunting Ghislaine, says another. It's brilliant. What an awful man her father was. I also ordered from Joyce's online. How about that? Great service. Bet you it was the... how did that person guess what I ordered? That's mad. I can't say it because it's a surprise, and not that anyone who might be receiving the present will be listening, too young, but you're bang on. That's gas. I'll tell you next week what it was, because they seem to be all the rage at the moment. With one mention on your show, says Gillian, I went to the Joyce's website and was in the process of ordering, and the site crashed. So that's the Tuberty effect, you say. Well, I don't know about that, but I hope you're well. That's good news. I mean, look, I know that we were talking about candles, because there was a lovely message about that, listening to that email on lighting the candle on the grave. Some Zen wisdom for you, Ryan. When you light a lamp for others, you also illuminate your own path. At times, our own light goes out and is rekindled by a spark from others. I'll take that. I think we'll all take nice words like that at a time like this. You go to Sealsha candles and get the turf candle, get a bit of Connemara in your living room or your kitchen. That's nice. You can go to Rathbone candles. They've been going since the 15th century. Irish candle company. I need to buy some vinyl for presents as well. You can go to musiczone.ie. They're the largest stockist of vinyl records. They're based in Cork and they deliver quickly because it's been proven by the guys upstairs. So we know. I'm in my kitchen listening to you this morning, says the tech. Thank you for your kindness to us all today. Not at all. It's not kindness. It's just a hug. You mentioned those who didn't sleep well last night. Well, yes, I was one of those, but I'm feeling much better already after listening to your show. I'm glad you mentioned those living alone. It must be very hard for them. Important that they're acknowledged indeed. And as I say, you can be alone within a house of people too. So I'm talking to you as well this morning. Regarding Epstein and Maxwell, check out Julie K. Brown, the journalist who broke this story. She's amazing. Thank you. I didn't know about that. Huge strain of thought coming through the text on the schools closing. And there's one school of thought that says, if you're going to shut the schools down, shut them all down and stop messing. We've done the Zooming from home. We've done the homeschool. We have to do it again. There's another strain of thought that says, well, you know, if they're going to, we're doing the Leaving Cert, it's important that we have a bit of it. And then there's a fear. And there's an enormous amount of fear from students who feel that this particular strain of the virus is more virulent than ever before and more, therefore, more contagious and therefore more worrying. And from teachers who feel exactly the same thing. So no one among that section of society really wants to go back to school. I'm in two minds. Part of me thinks, well, at least they're trying to keep a bit of it open. But I think my biggest thing is I'm about decision. I like making quite firm, hard decisions. And my inclination would have been to say, shut it all down. If we're out, right? It's a month. We live with it. And we'll see you in the spring. We'll see you in February or whatever. However, I'm not doing my Leaving Cert. I don't have somebody in my house who's doing a Leaving Cert. So I don't know how visceral you are about this. But we're listening to you and we'll address it tomorrow on the Late Late Show, by the way, as well. Tomorrow night on the Late Late Show, we're going to invite five frontline workers on, and each one of them is going to get the vaccine live on television. Five workers breaking their backs in the front line will be vaccinated. And part of the reason we're going to do that is to say to you, it's just first of all, show you how it's done, show you why it's done, show you how clean and sensible it is, and show you that you have nothing to be afraid of. And most of all, to show you that there's hope. This is the cavalry. It's coming. So when you're despairing, I mean, you feel there's no light, honestly, it's happening. And you'll get a sense of that, as I say, tomorrow on the show. It's all going to be better. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but sometime very soon. I'm a teacher of extremely vulnerable children, says the text, in a special school. I'm very worried about these children being allowed to return to school next week on crowded buses, no social distancing. I appreciate the pressure on parents. We need to have a well thought out plan with additional resources and PPE and childcare for teachers and SNAs and individuals and safe transport and so on. But I'm worried. Another says that it's disgusting that Leaving Cert students and teachers are back to school. The health system is a breaking point. Can't take further pressures. It simply can't and won't work. It won't be accepted by unions. It would have to be reversed. The minister is playing politics with people's lives. And that's from a secondary school teacher in Dublin. Well, that story rolls on, and I'd be shocked if the unions let the pupils go back, but that's up for discussion. And these are tough times and they require much debate. And that's what's happening at the moment. So we'll follow that story as we move along. But we do need to break on through, do we not? Whew, to the other side. Yeah, that's not a song, that's a request from the Doors. All right, 51551. Thank you for all your texts today. And like I said, if you want to throw in a couple of paragraphs on how your world is, send it to ryan@rte.ie. The shorter, the better in some regards, because sometimes they can be a little long and it's quite hard to edit them down because they're such good stories. We simply wouldn't have the time because they're more like a Sunday miscellany essay than a quick read here this morning. So just keep an eye on that if you're sending them in. But we do want to know how you are, because I said this is the cup of tea in the morning, to talk about the night before, the days ahead, and to keep a sense of solidarity going in a friendly and hopefully meaningful way. Has the Birds Watch Ireland site crashed? I'd love one of those calendars, but the site won't open. I'd say it's possible that this bird has flown. So you may have to keep going. I had to shoehorn that in, didn't I? Keep going and you'll get there eventually, and you'll get yourself the calendar. It's good, especially May. You're going to love May. It's going to be a great month. In the meantime, I've got to say goodbye. Philip Archer-Hayes standing by. Be sure to stay tuned to him. He's got a busy show ahead of him, no doubt about that. Thank you for listening this morning. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.